sunshine. Good day, sunshine. Good day, sunshine.
It is a beautiful day, sunshine, here at Rosie on the House. Thank you for joining us here. We're here for you. It's a live call-in show. We take any question you might have about fixing, maintaining, repairing, remodeling your house, home, castle, or cabin. The number is 1-888-767-4348. It's a toll-free number. You can reach us from wherever you are in the great state of Arizona. Operators are standing by to find your name, where you're calling from, what your question is, and we'll take that information and bring you on air, have a little short conversation, and try and help you any way we can. That's what we do here at Rosie on the House. In particular, this Saturday morning, we are broadcasting live from the Maricopa County Fairgrounds at the Maricopa County Home and Garden Show. The topic today we're going to be talking, I've got Stan the Man here in with me, who's volunteered to come in and join us today. Stan, thank you, and I really appreciate you coming in today, my friend.
My pleasure, sir.
All right. We've got sweet Jennifer here. We've got Julia at the office taking the calls, and Mike Reese there making sure all of the electronics and computer is working fine. And Romy is off and away at a nephew's wedding in Colorado Springs today. So he's out today. We're trying to do the show without him. And so far, so good. Haven't pushed a wrong button yet so far, huh?
So far, so good. Last week, we left him solo, so it kind of is fair play.
Turnaround's
yeah.
fair play.
Yeah. Yeah.
This was actually the best man at Romy's wedding, so he felt compelled. He had to go up there and return the favor.
I don't think it was much of a sacrifice
no,
for him.
No, he, no, I don't think it was a had to.
No.
He looked pretty excited about getting out of town for a couple days.
He didn't go kicking and screaming.
That's right. Hey, we're talking today here at the home show, and we'll be doing stage demonstrations a little bit later, about things you can do around your house. If you learn how to do them, it might just save you a service call. And it doesn't necessarily require a large investment in tools or a large investment in a learning curve. We're just talking about the simple things that we can teach you how to check yourself for little things that could be wrong. And Stan is the guy that runs Rosie Remodeling Company and is hands-on. One of the reasons we opened Rosie Remodeling Company was to get Rosie back hands-on. I can't believe how much I've learned, and we've only been open 4 months. You guys don't do things the way we used to do them 15 years ago.
No, that's for darn sure.
A lot of things are still the same. You know, let's start by giving people a few tips about what to do. Let's start with doors.
Okay.
You know, the front door, I think, is probably the most notorious for a lot of reasons, that over time it tends to kind of want to sag. Where away from the hinges, you can look at the gap along the top of the door, and over by the hinges, it may be a eighth or 3/16 of an inch. But boy, over there on the strike side of the jamb, it's opened up to a half inch. To deadbolt it or to lock it or to latch it, you got to kind of close it, and then once it's closed, you got to
hoist it up.
You got to put your hip into it and kind of lift it up, and then everything locks in place.
Mm-hmm.
What causes that? What might be some simple things people could look at to fix that?
Well, you know, when I was young, I remember my dad, when he had a sticking door, he'd always grab a block plane and a piece of sandpaper, and he'd always, you know, plane the door off to fit the jamb. Well, that's not the problem. The door really hasn't changed shape, nor is the jamb. So
pretty soon the door starts looking like a polygon.
Exactly. So Mom says, "Dad, what's wrong with that door?" He says, "I don't know. Look at that thing." So, you know, particularly on an exterior door, they're subject to, you know, differential heat, you know, from the inside and outside, a lot of humidity variations. And, you know, a lot of times front doors are heavy, so they just sag. Yeah. And part of the problem we run into is, you know, when the door is hung at the shop, they just use 3/4-inch long screws to attach the hinges to the jamb itself. And structurally, that's really not sufficient for a heavy exterior door, excuse me. So what we like to do is just kind of take a look at the door from the inside. And, you know, normally it's just due to gravity, it's just sagging. Take a look at those, you know, the top hinge is usually the culprit that's, you know, the problematic. And just take a screwdriver, or if you've got a cordless, pull one of those screws out, one of those little 3/4-inch long screws, and go to a good hardware store is going to have a 2.5 or 3-inch long screw that is similar finish to the hinge, whether it be brushed nickel or polished brass or whatever it may be. And replace that 3/4 inch long screw with a 2.5 or maybe a 3 inch long screw that gets that fastener back into the skeleton of the house, back into the framing member rather than just the jamb itself. And basically what it'll do, it'll pull that hinge and the jamb back into place, and so that the door will close properly and all of the deadbolt and the latches and everything else
realign.
And it'll also help, you know, with a weather stripping configuration all the way around the door. Once you realign that door, you know, maybe weather stripping that hasn't been in contact with the door for a while, or the, you know, the threshold, is going to realign and help seal that door up as well. So
absolutely. And like you say, the screws can be found to match the finish of your hardware, so it doesn't stand out like a sore thumb. And the other thing people would want to remember is before you, when you take that little 3/4 inch wood screw out that is only anchored into the frame of the door, what we call the jamb of the door, you might want to take a and pre-drill an 11/64 or an 1/8 inch hole, because you're going to go back in there 2 or 3 inches. And I always like to pre-drill it, because the first couple times I did this stand, I didn't pre-drill it, and I put the cordless. Well, back then we didn't have cordless, but I would take the drill and I would just lean on it with everything I had, and I'd send that screw home. It'd hit the end, and then the head would
snap off.
And I got absolutely nothing done. You know.
And then what do you?
Then
do?
What do you?
Then
do?
You got a conundrum. Yeah,
exactly. That's one word for it. Yeah. Conundrum would be a good
and
word.
And a lot of times too, like you're talking about, you know, a little bit too much torque can sometimes be a bad thing. When you come to the end of that screw head, sometimes you maybe want to just back off and grab a manual old Phillips screwdriver and just twist it in there by hand so that you have a little bit more control if you're not used to using a cordless device.
With these cordless devices, I tell homeowners all the time, look, there isn't much sense in buying anything below an 18 volt if you really want to get something done. The 12 volts are nice little handyman projects, little hobby projects and things like that. DeWalt makes a 12 volt that has headlights on it that I love.
Oh, boy.
And it's so it's so small, it almost fits in your pocket, and you just carry it anywhere.
Uh-huh.
But if I really want to drill something, if I want to open a hole, if I want to take a paddle bit and get a serious hole or a Forstner bit, then I'm going to need an 18-volt. When you've got that size and that kind of power, go ahead and back that clutch setting off to about a number 3.
Exactly.
That way you're not going to twist the head right off of the screw.
Yeah. The drill protect you. You know, and a lot of times too, I find, you know, it may take a couple of long screws depending on the size of the door and how much that door is sagged. You may have to pull a couple of those 3/4 inch screws out of that jamb and put in a couple of longer screws to really get some meat back into that framing of the home.
Now I'll test you here, because there's a situation that we're dealing with that I've dealt with a lot of clients. Is, of course, you have your front door, which is probably the heaviest door in the house, you know, and then you've got side lights on either side, you know, so you don't have, you got a 4x4 that's your style, it's your jam, it's everything, and then once the door starts sagging off that, boy, you, without some beef in there, it's hard to bring that door back up.
It really is, and that gets to be something that, boy, I've spent hours on, you know, side light configurations like you're talking about, trying to get a door back into place, and it's not something that you can, that's really user friendly. It can turn into a multi-stage project if you're not real careful.
I've learned, you know, I keep taking notes of everything I'm gonna do in the next house I build.
Oh, you know,
when I and so I've got everything dialed down to just the it's turning into quite a volume.
I was gonna say, look at the phone book. Huh?
Never put one light over your kitchen sink, because with all the new faucet heads, they're so fat it casts a shadow right there on the dirty spot that you're trying to scrub. So you put two lights above the kitchen sink. Well, on a front door, my notes say that if you ever are going to put side lights on the hinge side, make sure there's a horizontal framing member at hinge height. Mm-hmm. So the side light is broken up into at least 3 or 4 separate components, so that somehow, some way, you can transfer the weight of that door all the way through back to the cripple stud that's back there, the skeleton, exactly. The support system of the house.
What I find is a lot of times, you know, and one of the things I really love about pellet doors is they've got adjustable hinges on them. I mean, you can adjust that hinge every way from Sunday to make that door just behave perfectly.
Yeah.
And, you know, over time, if that bad boy starts to sag a little bit, boy, I mean, you just go in there with a Phillips head screwdriver and you can fine-tune that thing, and it is a fantastic product.
So the moral of the story, y'all, is if you have a door that's sticking, that seems to have sagged and settled a little bit and is hitting the jamb over on the strike side of the jamb, the strike side of the jamb is opposite of the hinges, and it may have pulled out a little bit, try this trick of sinking a screw 2.5-3 inches in the top part of the top hinge into the structural support frame of the house. Probably will bring the door right back in place. And not like Stan's dad, not like my grandpa, do not take a power planer, a hand planer, or a belt sander and start whittling away at the door, because pretty soon you're going to have gaps on all four sides of the door.
Yep, exactly. And that works the same as the interior door. Same repair, you know, for a bathroom and bedroom door as we were talking about for the exterior as well.
It starts looking like one of those Dr. Seuss songs, you know. That door's got gaps all the way around it.
You walk down the hallway and you want to walk at an angle.
It's like the State Fair Crazy House.
Exactly.
Folks, it's Rosie on the House. We're here to help you through any home remodeling, improvement, or maintenance project at your house, home, castle, or cabin. Our lines are open. Operators are standing by. And the number's 1-888-767-4348. It's Rosie Romero and our man Stan from Rosie Remodeling Company here to answer any question you might have and guide you along. When we get back, we finished addressing the door sagging. How about a door that won't stay put, won't stay open, won't stay closed? How do you handle that? We'll cover it as soon as we get back, right after this.